Don't you know we're talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper. Don't you know we're talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper. While they're standing in the welfare lines, crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment lines, sitting around waiting for a promotion. Don't you know, talking about a revolution sounds. Poor people gonna rise up and get their share. Poor people gonna rise up and take what's there. Don't you know you better run, 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 run. Oh, I said you better run, 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 run. Cause finally the tables are starting to turn. Talking about the revolution.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to the French Connections Wednesday edition. Today's date is the 26th day of July, 2006. My name is Daryl Bradford Smith. Welcome to the this Wednesday installment. IamTheWitness.com is the website, and IamTheWitness at Hotmail.com is the contact information. Today's guest is a repeat visitor to the French Connection. A wonderful researcher, got many, many decades of involvement in trying to expose the conspiracies that we've been investigating only for the shortest of times, but yet we've become friends because we're both got the same goals in mind. I was afforded the ability to read an email that was sent to me by my guest, David Pidcock, regarding Bible prophecy and actually some prophecies from the Quran that ran in parallel to the information that that Christopher John Berkus has been providing us over the last couple of interviews. So I thought it important to provide you with this same information. So I'm going to bring David up right away. David, are you with me?
Yes, I'm with you, Daryl. Unfortunately, we're on running on a tight schedule this evening, but sure, I'm more than happy to pitch in what I can.
Well, it's going to be 25 minutes, ladies and gentlemen, so let's get right into it. You know, you sent me a passage that comes on the... Well, basically, why don't you explain it? Because it talks about Jeremiah and the reason. It's Jeremiah 29, 17 through 19, and it's an important passage because it describes how God sees the Jews in their tribulation. Would you explain that, please?
Well, yes, it's a very famous passage. Many people, of course, I do tend to try and keep abreast of everything, and you, even though you're dealing with ancient manuscripts, you find that they're highly relevant to the times in which we live, because prophecies are there precisely to do exactly that, is to give you the prophecies that actually relate to our time. And what if you have them to hand? I'm just trying to call up those to that email at the minute. And
yes.
But if you, it's the Jeremiah quote is extremely valuable. But it's, of course, you'll see the mirror is exactly that which you find in the Quran, which of course I've been trying to bring to people's attention, that there is no conflict between Islam, Christianity, and Judaism, because basically it is just a continuity of what was there before. So the Bible should be, or the Quran should actually, in actual fact, corroborate what was in the earlier scriptures.
This passage is quite damning, and I'll read a little bit of it here. It's a short passage, but it says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will send upon them the sword, the famine and the pestilence, and make them as vile figs that cannot be eaten, so they are so evil, and that I shall persecute them with the sword, the famine and the pestilence, and I will deliver them to be removed to all the kingdoms of earth. to be a curse and an astonishment and a hissing and a reproach among all the nations whither I have driven them because they have not hearkened to my word. Now, that, if that defines the machinations of the Jews over the last 2,000 years, then God is terribly angry with them. And
well, I think it's longer than 2,000 years, because the expulsion, of course, we had the expulsion from the Holy Land, and the captivity was of course long before then. So we're looking at over 3,000 years, this is something that the Torah conscious Jews are aware of, and they know that the state of Israel that was created against the commandment would only have a certain period of time to exist. So I was drawing attention to the fact that the periodic Holocausts that do occur, and anybody who denies the Holocaust is going against the Bible and the Quran if they're religious, but it's there clearly that the it's down to people to live. If you're in the Holy Land, you have certain rules by which to live, and if you don't, if you try to build Zion with violence and blood, of course, then you cannot remain. So this prophecy is still valid till the day of judgment.
Well, it's damning in the extreme, because it says that no mercy shall be shown on this population. Now, I personally think that people are making decisions to fulfill this messianic outcome intentionally. There's no divine hand driving Olmert and his henchmen in the Middle East to make these decisions. I think these are coming from man themselves, aren't they?
It's not divine, it's malign, but there are people who, the antinomians, who believe that by doing evil that good may come. But also you have the American Christian right, the extreme right, wanting to engineer conditions which would bring about the second coming. So they know that Israel has to be destroyed. So if you can engineer it to happen, because we're in our lifetimes, this is really what you can see, that there is a hand at work trying to actually speed things. I remember Ronald Reagan in an interview with The Observer saying that he believed that his hand would be the hand on the button. He thought that he would actually create Armageddon. I mean, that was Ronald Reagan. So, but it's if we go to the Quranic statement as well, it's identical, and in which it's saying that as it was with Jeremiah, that and it said, if you do well, you do well for the benefit of your own souls, but if you do evil, you do so to its detriment. So when the time of the second of our punishments came, and this is recording relating to the second destruction of the temple, we sent against you others from amongst our servants, and of course the Gentiles and the non-the Jews were basically the servants of God also. We sent them to ravage and disfigure your faces and enter the temple. And so he goes on to say, it may be that your Lord will have mercy on you, but if you return to your crimes, Judah and Israel, we will revert to our punishments, and we've made hell a prison for those who insolently reject belief. So this is the Quranic confirmation of what is said in the earlier scripture.
Well, see, now what I see here is that somebody behind the scenes is also pushing forward this massacre in Lebanon by some biblical edict. And in fact, they're actually targeting the public there.
Yes.
But in the scriptures, it calls for them to utterly destroy that. It calls their attack to reduce Lebanon to a stubble.
Yes.
Now, this is pretty dangerous stuff, because if they actually intend on reducing Lebanon to a stubble, that means they're committing genocide in that nation.
That is the case, but remember, it doesn't really. The Arabs don't count in terms of that group who are currently in charge in Israel. That a Jewish fingernail is more valued than all of the Arabs put together. So in terms of that, we shouldn't be at all surprised that they don't count. And, of course, even the UN and the people who've been targeted yesterday, they want the area from them. Because remember what the objective is here is that Israel will extend to the Litani River. That's what the claim was in 1922 when Weizmann said that the Litani River should be the border of Israel.
Well, they wanted that border because that river is an extremely pure source of drinking water as well as irrigation, isn't it?
Indeed, yes. Well, this is all the Golan and most of the other wars have been to expropriate the water sources, and this, of course, is precisely what we see here. But it's written clearly in documents. I have them here with me from 1922, and the debate with Weizmann then, who demanded that the Litani would be made the northern border of Israel. The other point was that, just to remain with the scriptures, is Malachi warns in Malachi 4:1, and the day will come when I will burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that I shall leave neither root nor branch. And that means that when everybody is basically back in Israel, that's when there will be the final solution, if you like, to use that term.
Now, everyone back in Israel, meaning all of the diaspora Jews, are back in their Holy Land.
Yes, that's, and I think what we will see now is probably the backlash in the States and elsewhere, and unfortunately, they haven't learned anything from history, as we can see, basically.
So what do you think? There's going to be a pogrom of sorts that kind of forces the American Jews to leave America and other places because of the crimes of the Israelis, and they'll end up back in their Holy Land waiting for this judgment.
I think this is what Malachi, because when you say root and branch, it means everyone. And but there are also prophecies, Islamic prophecies about those times, which we've already seen about two-thirds of them already come true according exactly to the way they're written. And to the point where this Malachi warning, I think, is extremely, extremely potent, and they should take heed of it.
How can we stop this, David?
Well, Darrell, it's sort of been going on for 3,000 years. You know, the first 3,000 years are the longest, as they say.
Well, you know something, I'm not the kind of guy who rolls over easily, and I want to do whatever it takes to stop them. I just simply am.
Well, this program in itself is evidence of that. It is a slow process, and of course, the what's happened in Lebanon now, the people have seen them targeting this UN repeatedly, but of course they don't want the UN or anybody other than forces that they can control, which will be probably NATO, and then they'll extend the borders up to the Litani River, which I think has always been the objective.
Well, now we're in a situation where the rest of the world is still being lied to on CNN, and it's ABC, CBS, BBC, doesn't matter. Even here in France, many of the networks are controlled by Jewish interests, so you're only going to get, if there is criticism, it's very limited, and it's very selective. However, there has been an increase in the amount of truthful coverage against them that I was surprised to see, knowing as I do that the Jewish control of the media is pretty well established in both areas, in North America and in Europe. I'm wondering, is that intentional to set up this pogrom?
I don't know if that's the case. I mean, I'm not a prophet. I think that but it's like own goals. You know, they're not intended, but events conspire for things to happen as they were prophesied. But controlling everything, this is their lust for certainty, that they have no belief in anything, and so they have to make sure that everything is materially under their control, apparently. But of course, as we've seen with so many, like the Titanic, everything, it was the ship that even God couldn't sink. But things that man sort of creates, and of course they're always destined to go pear-shaped or Blair-shaped, as we're saying now.
Well, here's the interesting thing. the Torah Jews, and again, we've said this before together. I have many friends that are Jewish. You just described
just
it as a friendship.
Converted, as I mentioned, but we have my sister and my cousin who converted to Judaism. So I, you know, we have a long weekend, as you know, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
But see, this is painful to me because again, I grew up in an area where I went to school with Jewish people. They were friends. They played basketball with us, and I mean, and I lived in New York for a very long time. Many of my dearest and closest friends were Jewish. I didn't see any of these inclinations in their lives, and I didn't see any of this stuff coming from them.
Mm.
What is it that this Torah Judaism and how it's been so decimated in the mainstream Jewish community, or is it just sitting in the background because the people in control are this Zionist branch of insane Talmudic Jews?
Well, I think that it's the same in all religious communities. Even amongst the Muslims, you find, I mean, I'm a convert, and after 30 years, you find that the same problems have occurred within the Islamic community. But this was prophesied that they would become more, that there would be 73 sects, and only one would be on the right path, all the rest would be in hellfire. So it's not limited to one group. We're all guilty of wanting editorial control. They say, where I come from here in Yorkshire, when all else fails, read the instructions. And the instructions are the Ten Commandments. Well, you can't really improve upon that in terms of a code, whether you're religious or not. You know, it's a very good code. I think that it's a matter of when we point the finger at somebody, there are always three pointing back at us, and it's for us to come together as people who are believers, and even people who are secular, who are of goodwill, that we can work together. But it is a certain spirit, the zeitgeist, if you like, of the age, which is very destructive, and it is the indication that we're living in the period of the Antichrist. Unfortunately, people have failed, including the Muslims, to realize that the events have already happened. And what we're seeing now, this pestilence, fire, war, and all the things happening, are happening on America's watch. I mean, the British started it, let's say, but America is now the whore of Babylon. We can see it absolutely clearly.
David, I'm trying to enlist as many Torah-quality Jews involvement because I think bringing these people to heel in Israel is going to come at the efforts of Torah Jews and people with righteousness in their interests.
Sure.
And I don't want to alienate Jewish community members because I think they'll do more to stop this mess than anyone will.
Well, they are the most articulate and capable, of course, the problem has been a long time coming.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to refer you to this book, The Jews and His Duty. It's one of the it's by Chaim Golden, and it was given to a friend of mine for his bar mitzvah, and he let me have a look at it. Now, it is the most fantastic book, and you could say if you just changed some of the names, you would say it was the perfect Islamic book. So here we have, when you see real Judaism and what it actually means, and of course if I'd read this book before I converted to Islam, I would have become Jewish. I mean, that's the extent. But of course, because I know now that they're all the same. It's just the battle has been over the Grand Lodge with the Freemasonry and, say, the Grand Lodge. The battle was never over content, only over jurisdiction. And this is what we're seeing, is who is going to get the collection, basically.
You have many contacts in the Middle East, and you and I both know that places like Jordan and the king of Jordan right now, Abdullah, this guy is bought and paid for Freemasons.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
And we've got problems with Mubarak. This guy's bought and paid for, and now Gaddafi's come online. He's paid for. The king of Morocco paid for. You can go down the list. Are there places still in the Middle East that have not been got to?
For me to say that, I would be signing my own death warrant. But basically, I think that there are extremely good people. In fact, all the good people in all the countries you mentioned, most of them are in prison. So if they, while they're calling for the release of prisoners in Israel, they should also be calling for the release of prisoners in Egypt. I've attended trials at the military courts in Egypt, which are locking, I mean, there are tens of thousands of political prisoners who are locked up because they teach their children the Quran. And this is in countries which, of course, have strong alliances with Israel and America. So there are very serious problems, but this again, is again the fulfillment of the prophecies. They have to go back to the original scriptures, and actually the Muslims are, as I say, in far greater schisms than the rest of the world. But there are very good people in the Islamic world or in the Arab world. Some are in government, but it's like everything. Look at Kofi Annan. He's saying you targeted this thing, and and there's no doubt that they did. But what is the world going to do if people in the Arab world or Islamic world can't see anybody doing anything? They keep their head down below the parapet until somebody comes along that is actually going to have the courage to stand up and call a spade a spade.
Well, I'm standing up and I'm doing that, and I'm not afraid of these people, David. I you know what? I'm not afraid of them. And the fact is, the message that we're putting out here with Christopher and yourself and many others is getting out. I trust me, this is actually exponential in growth. And the fact is, all we need now is a good jumping point here to get this worldwide. And
yes.
I don't think it's stoppable once we do. And I think they've allowed me to go too long here, and now it's too late for them to stop me. And here's the facts. These guys are in a situation right now where I think, given a wake-up call in America and Europe, we can really begin to put the brakes on these people, unless, of course, Israel's willing to just shoot off all 300 of their nuclear warheads.
Well, I think that should not be ruled out, and I think, as somebody did say that to me. But let me just read a quotation from this marvelous book, Our Duties Towards Our Fellow Men. Regardless of whether they're Gentiles or Jews, it is strictly forbidden to damage any person's property, either directly or indirectly, even with the intention of making reparations. Just as it is forbidden to steal or rob, even with the intention of making restitution. And it goes down the whole list of whatever you're seeing in Sidon and Tyre and the rest of the place. It is completely contrary to the Mosaic law. And they're occupying the Holy Land under a pretext. And, of course, they're behaving totally contrary to Judaism and what the Torah tells them to do. They could... even an injury... anything. It's just. I'm going to scan this and I'll send it in parts to you,
okay.
So you can actually, because it is. It's beautiful. I have to say.
Well, you know, do you think that we are in end times right now?
I do believe that we are very close to the second coming of Christ and the earlier coming of Al Mahdi, which of course is in the original scriptures. So. But the second coming of Christ has to occur according to the Quran and the prophecies. So that is the good news. Of course, the Muslims will be the first probably to recognize him and accept him. The Jews and the Christians may object to what he has to tell them. But basically, I think, how much worse did it have to get? I mean, it's clear that we are living in times where human blood has no value. The domination of interest, usury, is these are all signs of the end, the day of judgment, Yom Kiyamah.
Well, see, I've always considered myself a spiritual person, but not religious, David. I also know clearly that we all possess a powerful interior that has a force. It's a life force that we all hope to live. And here, as I watch on my television screen, the suffering of these Lebanese civilians and military, it doesn't matter who's suffering, the suffering is awful. And I'm watching children's bodies in terrible condition. My heart is breaking, and I become angry, more angry by the minute, because when you have that kind of craven sickness in your heart, Where are the good people, Dave? Where are the good people?
Well, look, the want of wanting to sound maybe stupid. There are, you know, out of every bad situation, some good comes, and anybody who dies innocently. I mean, of course, this is for people who believe there's a life after this one. They say if you all put your troubles on the table, you're soon glad to get your own back. Of course, innocent. This is totally, utterly unacceptable what's happening, but it is happening, and it's happened before.
But there's not a lot. There's not a lot of outrage. There's some. But I mean, we're watching young Israeli girls signing bombs. We're seeing sickness being spewed around as though it was a water fountain. And I'm looking at this stuff, saying to myself, where's the outrage? Where's the moral indignation? Where is the righteous indignation here for all of this? Because seriously, I'm not seeing it. I mean, there was more anger over Vietnam, and this is worse than that.
Well, it may be also that but Vietnam wasn't so much a religious war. This one, it is also the element of crusader mentality, that there is an inbuilt resentment to Arabs because they're viewed as the Antichrist, or and this is part of the problem, where there isn't the sympathy. I remember the films that were made that the Arabs are called sand niggers and things like that. They're not considered to be humans, even by probably normally right-minded thinking people. But so there is that thing of maybe that you're getting rid of some of the people, even though they're Christian Arabs. They're still considered to be a problem.
David, I find that to be a very big element in this sickness, and we've done everything we can to point out the fact that there are good people in all races and all creeds.
Absolutely. But what about Winston Churchill? I mean, the point is that we're looking at we shouldn't be surprised at what's happening in Israel when we see the Bolshevik Revolution, and everything was driven by the same people, and all the hundreds of millions that died under those regimes, which were all related to the creation of Israel and what it was about, and the people more or less were responsible for all those injustices and the genocide of literally, I think, over 100 million in Russia.
Now, you're saying to me that Zionist Jews and those of their and the forefathers of this movement murder indiscriminately.
It's Murder Incorporated. I don't think there's any doubt that Murder Inc. is part of the agenda, and this is why I'm saying that these are anti-human. This is anti-Christ. This is totally alien to what Christ advocated and practiced. So this is. But you see, the fatal thing is that the chosen people, either they're angels, or they're devils. And when they're devils, that they are the Deutsch devils, as Renz has referred to them. They are formidable because they have. It's a corruption of a spirit that should be used for good, but when it's used for evil, it's absolutely disastrous.
Well, now here's the other side of this. How does the Ashkenazi Khazarians move into this? Because they protect themselves with the cloak of anti-Semite when somebody comes up against them. But the fact is, they don't have Semitic origins, as far as I've been able to glean from my research. How do they square this circle, and how can we get that information, if true, out into the airwaves, so that that calling someone an anti-Semite no longer carries the sting it once did?
Well, this is, of course, a very cleverly engineered mechanism, and of course we saw it in the with the KGB or the NDKV, the methods that were used in Russia, because they've, and also in Turkey. Turkey is. It was the first Zionist state, and still is, more or less. You have the apparent names of people there, but Ataturk and the whole Young Turk movement was entirely Jewish, or entirely Zionist, certainly. And also, we have to say Jewish in the fact that they were Semites. Almost 70 to 80% of the Young Turks were Semitic Jews who basically converted or used the Islamic names. But the Turkish Revolution and the murder of the Armenians was all done under Jewish, there were the Donmer.
Yes, but see, now, how does the Khazarian Kagan group, the Khazars, and that actually gave us the blue-eyed, light-skinned, mongoloid, featured Jew from the northern part of Europe, who has absolutely no connection to, or at least not on the physical side, doesn't have any connection to a Middle Eastern heritage.
Yeah, but the point is that we're not, that Judaism or the religion of Abraham has no, or Islam, and Judaism proper has no racial identity or belonging. It is something that was open to everybody. They kept it away from the rest of the world because they, and this is what the Quran warns them about, that they have kept it as a exclusive club, and they've used it purely as you would be a member of the Masonic. It's a device, and therefore you can believe in Judaism, in the principles, and then you would automatically have an affiliation with the country, with Israel, because you believe in what the prophets taught, and that that of course the Holy Land is the Holy Land for all people, as is Mecca is the original center for pilgrimage. It was much earlier than Jerusalem. So this the Khazarian argument is one that, of course, the reason for the idea this link with through the mother, it was the fact that the pharaoh killed all the boys off and just left the females, but it was not to do with the belief in God and Unitarian and monotheism. The people converted to Islam, or they converted to Judaism, as with the Khazars, because it was politically appropriate or expedient for them to do so, and they've used it as a cloak.
But see, now it's part of my job to explain to people that to be deemed an anti-Semite when you're talking about Khazar, Ashkenazi Jews is like calling a cat a dog.
Yeah.
So if somebody were to charge me with an anti-Semitic statement about an Ashkenazi, they would be completely off base.
Yes, it is confusing, but I think we've got a lot of material now that I have available now, and I shall post that to you, related specifically to this subject or this issue. But it requires dogged determination. You know, you were talking about cats and dogs, and somebody said your cat ran over my dogma or something. So,
well, you know, let's finish this up because I know you have guests coming, so I don't want to keep you too long. But in the next coming weeks here, are you expecting them to pull back to the boundaries of Israel, or are you expecting them to try to engage Syria in this, or what do you see happening?
Well, it is Syria is the final piece in the Greater Israel. I mean, the Greater Israel, the Nile to the Euphrates, up to the Litani River in the north. So I see that this, why they've obviously laid down a signal. They don't want anybody other than a force that will permit them to have ultimately the up to the Litani River, which I think is partly to do with this, but also Syria, and then the pretext for launching an attack on Iran. This has to be the agenda. I haven't been able to send you a copy of Propaganda in the Next War that was published in 1938, but that was then that was saying clearly that the British must get Japan to attack America. This was our policy. So what the events happened by plan. And remember, with the Suez Crisis, France, Britain and Israel conspired to invade Egypt. It happened 56, or maybe it was 40 years 40 years today.
Yes.
That was again, and Ben Gurion, the Prime Minister of Israel, it was all cooked and dried before the events. And of course, the Americans let it happen. And because what's ironic is that they said that NASA was a communist, but basically Miles Copeland was running NASA, and he was the American asset, and they just had to make it appear that he was wasn't an American ally. So that is now, again, we use war, and it's politics by other means, as von Clausewitz said, you know, war is politics by other means. But I think the Litani River is in the sights. But I think they're going to have a lot of difficulties there with Hezbollah. They're not going to roll over because they're looking, as it happened in the early Crusades. The fight was when Saladin and others said, the Crusades, well, you know, your people are dead. And he said, but ours are in heaven, yours are in hell. And they, so that's the point. The Israelis are basically secular, and they don't believe in dying for an ideal.
I'm so happy you were able to do this short visit with us, David. I am in touch with you, and I do have other plans. I've shared with my listeners that we're gonna strengthen this message. We're gonna expand this message. We're gonna go further with our efforts to incorporate as many groups and as many people in this fight as we can.
Yes.
And I hope that that your network of contacts and stuff in the Muslim community can maybe catch wind of this
yes.
French Connection broadcast, because we are putting out some other things, and I do urge you to listen to Christopher John Burkus and his interviews, because they're in many ways a mirror of the statements you've just made here. And I have to say that I'm starting to be convinced on this front that that this may be what they've got in mind is this as a total engulfment of war here in the Middle
yeah.
East. And I can't imagine just seeing more carnage in Syria and the rest of it. We've got to do something.
Yes, indeed, I fully agree. I fully agree, though.
Take care of yourself
Thank
over
you.
There, David, and be well. I will be contacting you, sir.
Thank you very much, and God bless to everybody. Thank you.
Thanks again.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Ladies and gentlemen, that was David Pidcock, someone who has graciously visited us today to share what he had shared with me in an email, and I thought it was important enough to try and get David on today. He has other commitments in his personal life that kept him from doing a longer interview, but listen to what we just talked about. I mean, it's what Christopher has been saying and others. We need to redouble our efforts. We need to do more. We need to tell more people. We need to share this truth with as many forums and as many websites as possible. And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, that we do this on a shoestring. If you've got $5, put it in a PayPal for us so we can keep this fight going, because our bandwidth just went off the charts here, and that's good news. That's very good news. But there's other things that are going to come along with that, and we have small bills, but we could certainly use a small donation to keep this fight going. So if you've got the interest, we could certainly use that. French Connection is not stopping. We are going to bring you more interviews, more information, more truth, more research, and it's never, ever going to stop until we have taken these people down. So keep fighting, ladies and gentlemen, and know that that I'm right alongside you in this battle, and we'll be doing more stuff in the next couple of days and weeks. But until then, this is Daryl Bradford Smith saying good night, ladies and gentlemen, and be well. Bye-bye now.